popular demand.
The NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show, Brett Costello, and this week joined by Ben Pether. Welcome back to a familiar stomping ground.
Brett, thanks for the warm welcome, and wow, round 14 down. We've only got four rounds left, but it was a massive weekend of NBL One West basketball.
It seems to be pretty standard now that almost every weekend we're having an overtime game, at least one.
Absolutely. The famous quote from Dan Greeter a few weeks ago, free basketball and Saturday night. Who would have thought Lakeside Lightning men would walk in there and take the 4 points on the road?
We'll be speaking with Donnie Vaughan a little bit later on about that win and about how he's finding life in Australia and at the Lightning.
Yeah, and we also get the opportunity to chat with Kyle Armour about, can he add another championship to his resume?
Kyle Armour, of course, spent some time with the Wildcats back in the day, and he's played with quite a few different clubs over the years now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he did. The Willetton Junior, spent time at the AIS, and we hear about him forming those new relationships down the Kwinana Freeway at the Manager Magic.
We'll also chat with Craig Mansfield, who, speaking of people who've been with different clubs in recent years, of course, he was with Lakeside, then with the Suns, and now this year, first time head coach with the Perry Lakes Hawks this season.
And of course, he won that championship a few years back with the Lakeside Lightning. They're sitting there right now in ninth spot, the Perry Lakes Hawks. Will they make a playoff run come the end of the season?
And I know you've got a special starting five for us this week as well.
Well, of course, last week we had announced the Defensive Player of the Year nominations for both the men and the women. I've got the starting fives this week for both the men and the women who weren't on that list, but I think deserved a nomination.
And of course, we'll preview all round 15 action with just four rounds to go as we head towards the finals. All that and more to come on the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Let's get this thing started.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back, NBL One West Radio Show. Brett and Ben with you as we take a look at last weekend. It was round 14 action, just four rounds left to go, and there was plenty of action, and you were across a few of the calls on the weekend. You're a busy boy, Ben.
Absolutely, yeah. We started out, well, of course, I predicted it over a month ago now that Warwick Senators women wouldn't lose a game, and they went into the defending champions' hometown, of course, of the Willetton Tigers, Willetton Basketball Stadium, and yeah, they got the win, and yeah, they looked really good. It was a rush game early. Both teams were trying to find their groove. It was an interesting one. Both were going into double headers, and yeah, I was again impressed. Warwick Senators, they're going to be tough without Chloe Forster.
Well, I think it's the only prediction that's still standing so far this season, so good work. We'll keep hanging our hat on that one for now.
Indeed. And of course, on the Friday night as well, the Lakeside Lightning got the win against the Coburn Cougars in the women's, and the Lakeside Lightning, they've added Ash Eisenberger now. They're starting to get a little bit of a push there, momentum going into these playoffs.
And then there was certainly plenty of action on the men's side as well.
And of course, the East Perth Eagles right now, getting the win against the Willetton Tigers on Saturday night, they're really causing some headaches right now for teams trying to fill up that 6 to 8 places in the men's table.
Certainly some late season recruiting from them has helped them out with a few W's towards this tail end of the season.
Absolutely. And if you add, any time anyone adds the likes of Lee Roberts, international experience, being an absolute gun, he's played for many teams in this league, and you add him, you're definitely going to be a chance any given night.
We'll speak to Donnie Vaughan from the Lakeside Lightning a little bit later on, but their overtime win, a big one on the weekend.
Who would have thought? It was almost something you'd put your house on. The Warwick Senators at home on a Saturday night. They've added Majuk. They didn't have Coach Brennan, who right now is over in the Summer League, my understanding, with the Perth Wildcats, but on a Saturday night. But I said it to you a few weeks ago that the Lakeside, they made some roster adjustments. They're playing some Lakeside juniors. They had Ben Faircloud come back from the college, who's a Lakeside junior. He's a 6'7". He can shoot the three ball. Landon shot the ball well, and they had multiple contributions from some of their young guys. And we actually talked about it in the Warwick Willow game on Friday night. If you're in there for that arm wrestle, and if you can get to the last 5 minutes and still be within 2 to 3 points, doesn't matter what your standings are. Literally, those two teams that are in that dogfight, the Lakeside Lightning, they stood up. They scored. They went on an 8-0 run in the final 2 minutes of that OT.
The Senators have been obviously without Brian Michaels after the first handful of games. Is he expected back this season? Do we know?
My understanding is that Brian Michaels is going to make a full recovery. He had a knee injury, and he will be playing in part of those playoff run. That which I really think that the Warwick Senators Ellis, Davis, Zunic, Majuk now, and of course Brian Michaels, they're going to go deep into the playoffs.
And then you were active on Saturday night as well, a couple of big games there too.
Yeah, there's probably the two games that we really wanted to sort of look at in depth. And I jumped on the call there with former Rockingham Flames men's coach Mark Hartley. And we start with the women, and it was 94 Coburn Cougars, 82 the Rockingham Flames. It was a bit of an arm wrestle. Both teams sort of coming to feel their way out. Ari Hetherington had 8 points in the first quarter. She came out really hot, was shooting the ball well, and it was interesting to see how Coach Thwaites allowed his team to play it out in the first quarter. Didn't use a timeout, allowed his team to play through it. But in their second quarter, they were really big. 25-12, they shut down the Rockingham Flames scoring. And then come the fourth quarter again, it was Jill Williams, and she really took over. She had 17 points in the final quarter. She had 14 points up until three-quarter time. She had 17 in the last quarter. And her ability to create her own off the dribble was the difference in the end.
It was good to hear Mark Utley on the call with you, giving his perspectives both as a player, as he likes to remind us, and also in his coaching days as well. Coached in a few different clubs. He got around the men's result as well.
Absolutely. And look, that's what I unofficially termed the Rockingham Road Derby, and they call it the Wave Cup. But it was really cool to see just the atmosphere. There was lots of ex-players there, the likes of Carlin Hughes, who's played for Rockingham, now sits as one of the coaching staff for Coburn Cougars. Mark Clayton was courtside, who of course has been involved with both clubs for many years, and Travis Moore, who they've named the court after, was there courtside watching the game. And even Ty Thwaites was actually a Rockingham junior himself, now the CEO of Coburn. So there was plenty of feeling in that one. And look, it was straight away obvious that Coach Ryan Petrick, who sent Devondrick Walker to Carter Skaggs. Carter Skaggs, of course, last weekend against the Perry Lakes Hawks, went 12 of 14. Incredible shooting from the three-point line. Devondrick Walker went straight to him. He face-guarded him, tried to take Carter Skaggs out of the game. In the end, he went 4 of 11, had 19 points in the end, Carter Skaggs. But it was really the difference was is when Saber Cham went to the bench, the ability for Marshall Nelson really take over. And he had 17 points really early in the second quarter. Saber Cham came back in. He got into foul trouble early, but he was able to sort of mitigate the influence of Marshall Nelson. But there was some really big dunks on the end of three-quarter time. Marshall Nelson threw down a huge one on Pascal Chukwu, and down the other end, Pascal Chukwu also threw down a few big dunks. But in the end, ultimately, it was the Devondrick Walker show. He had 39 points. He had 8 assists, 5 steals, shot the ball at 50% from the field, and Marshall Nelson ended up with 28 points. But one thing we learn out of this is that when Coburn Cougars get it together, Coach Coop gets them rolling, and they can consistently score, they could definitely be a threat. Right now, just sitting outside that top four. But once that scoring gets going and their ability in the likes of Gaffield, he had 26 points, 6 assists and 2 steals, they can really be a threat to those top four teams.
The three-point shooting of Nelson and Walker seemed to be a big difference for me compared to Skaggs, and you mentioned that defensive presence that Walker had on him maybe made a bit of a difference to the hot shooting that he had the week before.
Yeah, absolutely. But also it's the multiple contributions that I feel that Coburn got from their bench. Luke Phillips came in, had 11 points, shot 4 of 7, and also Keegan Phillips, his brother. And he's probably been limited a little bit, Keegan, in his opportunities after his brother Luke has joined them. But he had 17 points, 5 of 8. And the thing I loved about him was that he had the matchup on Tom Jervis. So when Pascal Chukwu came out of the game, he had the matchup on Jervis. And he just took it at Jervis. And there was that confidence from a young man coming in under 20 years of age. He's got a bright future ahead of him.
Well, we'll be back on the other side of this to speak with Kyle Armour, one of the stars down there at the Mandurah Magic, here on the NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show.
Brett Costello and Ben Pether with you for the NBL One West radio show. And as promised, we're joined on the line this time by Kyle Armour of the Mandurah Magic. Welcome along.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, pleasure. Good to hear you on the radio. Look, in recent years, obviously, you were a long-time player there at the Willerton Tigers, more recently perhaps with the Lakeside Lightning, and now, of course, with the Mandurah Magic. How is your gradual move down the Kwinana Freeway there treating you?
Moving south. No, it's been good. It's been good. It's been refreshing. New club, new people, new faces, new relationships. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. They've welcomed me with open arms, and it's been a good experience so far.
I'm sort of calling the Magic a bit of a sleeper team this season so far. There's a lot of talk, obviously, around that top four, and there's sort of a lot of talk about who's just scraping into the eight and so on. Do you feel that you've perhaps been a little underrated so far this year?
I guess we've got a lot of good guys that have, you know, individually on paper had success, you know, respectively or individually. So we've kind of put it together, and like any season, it's a bit of a journey. Like it's been a bit of a roller coaster, change of coach, and everybody's had a bit of a disturbed preseason with COVID and things like that. So I don't know. I think it's a long season, and you just got to catch form at the right time. So I think we're in a good spot.
Kyle Armour, Ben Pether here, mate. You talk about those teammates and those had those individual successes. They're coming all together right now. But one thing we've come to light for many years in this league now is Jay Bowie. And you've played with lots of different imports. His ability to score the basketball. First of all, what do you see behind closed doors about Jay? He's such a smooth operator. And what do you enjoy about playing with him?
I love JJ's. You know, he's our engine. And a guy that really drives us offensively. It's almost like, you know, we need a bucket. All right, Jay, you know, time to step up, take over, please. And just get him the ball in his spot and let him go to work. But what I've probably caught over the years is Jay is just like, he's a fierce competitor. He hates losing warm up drills. So when you catch him in the game, he's just highly competitive and a guy you kind of want on your team.
And, of course, yourself, from chatting to your teammates and seeing what they say about yourself is you are that fierce competitor, but also your ability to mentor young guys and take them inside them, make them feel $1 million. And there's one guy down there who just continues to progress. Last year, he probably was his breakout year playing extended minutes, but Riley Parker is someone we've seen that camaraderie between the two of you. What do you like about Riley, and what do you see for his hopes and futures with his basketball?
Riley's my boy. I love him. I think I really rate him. I think some people may be sleeping on him. He's a great talent and an absolute gym rat. I don't think people realise how good a work ethic he has. He'd get up more shots than probably nearly anyone I know that's playing in the NBL one. He's doing individuals nearly every day in the gym, things like that. So his development's been massive this preseason from last season to this season, and just fitting that spark off the bench. He's a knockdown shooter. He can create. He can facilitate. His defense is really good. He's picking up guys 94 feet. So I don't know. I guess watch this space because I think he's got a really bright future. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he makes of his career going to college, I think late August after this season.
And you touched on a little bit about those sort of individual accolades that all those players had. Back in 2014, just take your memory back to there, you won a championship, what was formerly known as the SBL, East Perth Eagles. Your coach was Adam Ford, who's now with the Cairns Taipans. You had the likes of Joe Allen Toupee, Tom Jervis, Drew Williamson. I guess I would say there's some similarities in regards to the profiles of the guys that you've brought together there at Manager as well. It's 8 years later now. Is there any similarities to that group? And what do you see now? Is there championship prospects about the group that you have right now?
Yeah, it's funny because I've kind of said it to the couple of boys, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, and it's a long season. And I remember that year in 2014, we finished seventh. And realistically, you only need to get to the end and win four games. You know, the crossover, get yourself into the quarters, and then you've got the quarter semis and hopefully the big dance. So I think there are similarities as far as maturity, experience in our team, and it's a matter of just clicking at the right time. And, you know, I like our chances leaning into the business time of the year.
And, of course, this week, none other than it's going to be a big weekend for you guys. You've got Rockingham on Friday night, and then you have East Perth on Saturday night. Rockingham Flames, I would probably say, bar the Geraldton Buccaneers, the most informed side right now. And they've brought together that group as well with the extended individual experience. That's going to be a tough matchup come Friday night.
Yeah. So they, Ryan's got them clicking pretty well. I think Marshall's in awesome form. I'm surprised, you know, he's not having a crack at the NBL. I think he deserves a shot. He's in some great form. Devondrick is obviously a knockdown shooter and can go. And with Jervis just filling in the holes, and they've got some good guys who are playing a good role. And then and Chuck Greg Heyer in there, you know, he's kind of Mr. Intangible. So he, yeah, they are they're going to be tough this Friday. So I'm looking forward to that challenge. And it should tell us kind of where we're at, and then we can set our minds to Saturday and throw the kitchen sink at East Perth.
Then you run home. It looks like you've got the Giants, the Wolves, and hopefully one that you can close out with a win in the final week against the Slammers. Are you talking sort of positions on the ladder and where you guys are hoping to finish with that run home?
Not really. I think I'm kind of just looking at the next game. That's kind of how we've been looking at it, and kind of been a little bit up and down throughout the year. So we're just trying to catch some consistency in our form. And kind of stick to our principles and rules that Jamie's put in place. So that's basically where we're at the moment.
Well, we appreciate your time, Kyle, and we wish you good luck for the weekend and for the rest of the season and being finals bound in season 2022.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate it. Kyle Armour there from the Mandurah Magic here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From X-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
It's the NBL One West radio show. Welcome back, all your local basketball action. Brett and Ben with you. And now it's time for the special Ben Pether segment. It's the starting fives, and it's a focus on the defensive players this time around.
Absolutely, Brett Costello. So during the week, as you would have seen on all the socials for the NBL One West, we had the defensive player nominations for 2022. Last year won by none other than Emma Gandini. And look, throughout the week and the weekend, I made my way across the different associations, had a bit of a chat. It seems like right now the feeling is it's Emma Gandini's to lose. She's the out-and-out favorite. She's had multiple double-digit steals, and it was interesting to see that. But what I thought I would do is I would look at the people who weren't nominated and see if I could come up with my own starting five. So special mentions from the people who were nominated, the likes of Emma Gandini, Tia Usic from the Joondalup Wolves, and I also really like Nat Burden from the Warwick Senators. And special mention also to Sarah Towina from Mandurah Magic. But these are my five women's players who get the job done. Now, this is my criteria. One, they can create a level of discomfort and stress on the other team. The second one is they disrupt the plan. I don't really worry too much about what your steals are per game. I'm talking about all your blocks per game. I'm worried about can you apply pressure 94 feet and take them out of their stuff, the other team. So, starting at the point guard position, Chloe Forster from the Warwick Senators. I want someone who can guard 94 feet. She has the ability. She's an absolute young gun. She's injured right now, but I think she's fantastic. Number two, Robbie Ryan from the Joondalup Wolves. She's a big reason why they are undefeated right now. Number three, she didn't get nominated, and I think she leads her team both in steals and blocks. I'm not about the statistics, but I think she's been fantastic. She's WNBL standard, and she's going to go over to the Sydney Uni Flames a little bit later on. That's from the Perry Lakes Hawks, Emma Clark. Number four, she's had Opal's experience. I think she's fantastic, and when she wants to really lock down, she can get the clamps out and stop someone scoring, and it's from the Willerton Tigers, Alex Sharp. And then the number five for the talls, I think Taze Morrell. She's really tough, and she's a big reason why they're 14 to know. So on the girls' side of things, those five players, they weren't nominated, but I think that they could go lockdown for 10 minutes and really make it hard for the team to score.
Now, I assume you've done the same for the men as well. You're going to drop it on us?
Absolutely. Well, I think that it's so interesting to keep in mind is that with the men, is there's so many different options, and you want someone who can guard someone 94 feet, and it starts with the point guard. I was tossing up between three players. Special mention, Saver Chan. Special mention, Sean Stewart. But he's a guest on the show tonight, and I think he would fight you for a grain of rice, and he always gets his teams going, and you got to start with your point guard, Kyle Armour. He just gets up, makes it really uncomfortable, always takes the point guard out of position, and disrupts the offense. So I get him starting at the one. starting at the two, special mention, it goes to Julian Pisava, but this might be a bit of a left field one. Justin Beard from the Rockingham Flames. He's someone that Ryan Petrie can throw to be able to go and do a job on someone else. He reminds me of probably a more advanced Dylan Hampson from the Willetton Tigers, but Justin Beard, he's injured right now, but I think he can really do a job. Number three, I couldn't split these two, so one will be the sixth man, one will be the one lockup, but sixth man is Gav Field. A few weeks ago on the show, I said he was Bryce or Bus, number one most important player to the Cobourne Cougars, but the man I'm going with, all-time games record holder for the Perry Lakes Hawks, Ben Purser. 40 minutes of defense on imports for year after year after year. Absolute lockdown defender. Number four, playing in the power forward position. Strong as an ox. He can out-muscle anyone. CJ Turnage from the Joondalup Wolves. And of course, to be out of guard in the pick and roll, the five man. He's had experience at the Center of Excellence. He had experience with the Wildcats as a DP. He's had experience playing in the NCAA collegiate system. He was the grand final MVP, Andy Ferguson from the Perry Lakes Hawks. They're my starting five. And I think throwing it out there as well, just with his ability to guard people in the pick and roll and be a ring protector, those five are my starting five for the defensive player of the year.
Look, I particularly like that Ben Purser call. If I also recall correctly, he has been a previous defensive player of the year. I'm almost sure of it.
Absolutely. And look, there's some other players as well. Like, you speak about those defensive players of the year, like the likes of Casey Milo. She just has the ability to read the play. And there's also some like up-and-comers coming through as well. The likes of like Sophie Doran from the Willetton Tigers. Some of the players who you'll see in the future continue to develop. But from there, those are my two starting fives. They weren't nominated, but I reckon they could go up against them.
Love your work, Ben. Starting fives for this week. We'll be back after the break. We're still going to be chatting with Donnie Vaughan from the Lakeside Lightning. Craig Mansfield, head coach of the Women's Perry Lakes Hawks, will be along before too long as well on the NBL One West radio show.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. This time on the line, we're with one of the imports down there at the Lakeside Lightning, Donnie Vaughan. Welcome along to the NBL One West radio show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're a first-year player down there at the Lakeside Lightning, so we did want to ask you, of course, how you've settled in to life in Australia and how you're enjoying things down there at the Lightning.
Oh, I like it here. It's a good community, fun people to be around, very homely, like, community, and everybody cares about, like, more than basketball and how I'm settling in and stuff. And they made an extra effort to make sure I was comfortable and stuff. It's been really nice.
Are you feeling like you're a one-and-done man out here in Australia, or do you think there could be a plan to stay a little longer?
No, I like it out here in Australia. I want to come back. I don't know what the future holds for me, but I'm hoping I get an opportunity to come back out here.
Donnie Vaughan, it's Ben Pether here. Mate, nothing makes your life out here more enjoyable than getting a win, and there's no tougher task than going into the Warwick Basketball Stadium, getting that win last Saturday night in overtime. Tell us what that experience was like and bouncing back after Friday, that tough loss at home against Cobourne.
Warwick's a tough team. We really dug deep into our bench, so then we could wear them down. And I think it was really a team effort in respect to work, but it was a fun game. Yeah, it shouldn't have went into overtime, in my opinion, but it did. So we worked through it, and we made some tough plays down the stretch, for sure.
And, of course, yourself originally from Virginia, now playing your trade out here in Australia. But before you were out here, you were in Europe. Where were you playing, and how did you find that experience compared to playing out here in Australia?
The last place I was playing in was in Armenia. So that's like in Asia. And the Armenian League, I was in the Caucasus Basketball League, the CBL. And it was – in that league, you can play three Americans at a time, and then you have to play two Armenians. So it was a little bit more physical and chippy, I guess, because there was more Americans to go against and stuff. And, you know, like, you're going against athleticism every night.
And, of course, you speaking of Americans, there's an American who's now married to an Australian, and he's sort of calls Perth home, that being Jack Eisenberger, former import of the Lakeside Lightning, now playing for Perry Lakes Hawks. You guys have a connection as well that started before your time out in here in WA. Where did that start, and what do you think about Jack?
I've known Jack Eisenberger for about 10 years now, I think. Maybe a little less than 10 years, but we've known each other for a long time. The first time I met him was in Israel. We went on a tour with Athletes in Action, and we've been friends ever since. We just stay connected since then. And he's a really good guy, and I'm sure he's happy to have finally settled down out here and living a good life.
Was that part of your reason, in fact, for coming to Australia? And obviously Jack's got a long history with the Lakeside Lightning, of course.
Yes, Jack is the reason that I came out here. He actually gave me his import spot because he needed some time off to go home. I appreciate that really deeply. And he helped me get my career started out here in Australia.
I wasn't sure the import spot was something you could give to somebody else, but hopefully he at least gave you a recommendation anyway.
Yeah, he recommended me, and he gave me a really good recommendation. And since he had such a good rapport with Lakeside, they gave me a look. So,
well, looking towards this weekend, you've got the Southwest Slammers, it looks like. Now, obviously, they've been languishing at the bottom of the table, but can always be a tricky one. What's the plans for this weekend?
Well, we don't take anybody lightly since we're not that far from the bottom ourselves, but we intend to come out and man up and probably focus on the defensive side of the ball. That's what's gotten us our wins that we've had, even with Warwick. But we just focus on the defensive side of the ball, and everything else takes care of itself.
All right, well, thanks so much for your time, Donnie. We appreciate your insights and thoughts, and wish you luck for the weekend and the balance of the season, and perhaps we'll see you back in future seasons as well.
Yeah, hopefully. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much, Donnie Vaughan, import player there for the Lakeside Lightning in the NBL One West.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
2-0-1-5. Yeah, it feels so good. The all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. We're now on the line with Craig Mansfield, the head coach of the Women's Perry Lakes Hawks. Welcome along.
Good evening, guys. Thanks for having me.
First season there at Bendat Basketball Stadium with the Perry Lakes Hawks. You've obviously coached quite a few different teams and had the ultimate success down there at Lakeside as well. How are you finding life there at the Hawks?
Look, Hawks has been fantastic. I've thoroughly enjoyed the year so far. The club environment's been really good. How they operate and what they're about fits with what I'd like to be about in my involvement in NBL One, and it's also a really, really good group of girls to coach. So, you know, everything's new for everyone with playing for me and system and everything, so it's a lot of change, but it's a really good group of girls who have been learning quickly, and I've been thoroughly enjoying it.
It's probably fair to say that you've got some really good young talent there. You probably don't have as much overall talent as some squads, and perhaps that speaks to some of the inconsistency throughout the year. Is it fair to say?
I mean, I think probably, to be honest, I think the first year has its challenges. You know, for the girls, it's not just been a shift in playing tempo or a shift in playing style or like structure and court spacing and that. It's been both. So it's a pretty significant adjustment. And then when you probably add to that, which every team goes through, some players in and out, some COVID, some injury, that, you know, that's been, it's been part of it. But I probably wouldn't necessarily pin that on talent. I think there's probably some teams that have quite obviously invested heavier than us and maybe have a little bit more at the top end. But I really like the group of girls we've got, and we've probably left 3 or 4 games on the table that we wouldn't leave on the table in the second year. We'd have been together enough and experienced enough to pull through and and probably win three or four of them. So it all goes with the territory. And part of what we're trying to do is build something that's successful over a long period of time. And, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, so sometimes it takes a bit of time.
Craig Mansfield, Ben Pether here. You speak about talent. Emma Clark, she's been a talent. She had a great game against the Rockingham Flames on Friday night. She's headed over for the WNBL for the Sydney Uni Flames. You've had the opportunity to coach many different players throughout your time with the SBL and now the NBL One West. What is it about Emma Clark that makes her the talent she is, and what do you see necessarily that we don't get to see that allows her to go out and perform?
There's a few things that jump out with Emma. One is she's very, very bright. She knows what's going on, and she knows what's going on structurally, and she picks things up quickly. And she's very invested in her basketball and working on a craft and learning the game and getting better. And she's quite proactive in driving that. Like she'll chase coaches for film or extra sessions. She definitely sort of drives the bus for herself in that way. She's also incredibly athletically gifted in terms of that height and that wingspan and the ability to run and get off the ground like she can. And then, you know, she can genuinely score at the ring, at the three and in the middle. So she's got a huge amount of tools, and she's really talented. She'd be in the most talented few I've coached in my 20 years, which is saying something. And the thing for her is just going to be experience. You know, she had some injury issues through college and through the Tude, and then didn't go back to college to do the Lynx thing, and then they had the very short hub season, and then last season didn't have a big role. So she's also, for her, this season, being healthy and being able to play every game has been huge, because just allows her to get some reps and feel for the game, because she has had a few interrupted years. And I honestly think, like, over the next 2-3 years, if she continues to be as motivated as she is and wants to, I wouldn't want to put a ceiling on her. I think she's very capable.
Indeed. And, of course, you guys right now are in a tussle for that 8th spot on the ladder with the Goldfields Giants. You had a good win against the Rockingham Flames last Friday night. You guys have got the bye this weekend because the boys heading up to Geraldton. How do you keep that momentum going and four in a fortnight's time against the Perth Redbacks?
Yeah, the bye's come at a good time. The middle of our schedule was always going to be very challenging, and then we had a few close losses and left a few on the table. But it was very, very nice to hang on and get the win. And 2 weeks is a long time to play when you've lost, you know, five or six in a row. It's nice to come off with a win and give the girls a break on Tuesday. Then we got three sessions to kind of put ourselves, you know, in a good position, and then a really big doubleheader against Redbacks and East Perth. But I think it's actually a tussle for seventh at the moment, isn't it? You guys calling it eighth? You're shorting us a position. I think I think Rockingham have a pretty tough run home, and there's us and Giants. I think any three of us could be on 9 or 10 wins.
Look, certainly that seventh to ninth is still up for grabs. I think the Goldfields Giants are probably everyone's second and sentimental favourite, being their first year in the league, and some people would love to see them get to the finals, I suppose, for that Goldfields thing, but they'll still have to battle with the likes of yourselves to get that spot.
Yeah, and look, Rob, the Giants coach, seems like a really nice guy, but they're far from my sentimental favourite to get eighth. I'd love to make sure we're in there and playing. But I think they've done really, really well for first year in the league. You got to tip your hat to them, really. And it's first year in an environment where the league is talented at the moment. The level's quite high, you know, so it's walking into a pretty challenging environment too, and the girls and the program there have done a fantastic job.
And of course, just one last question, Craig, is that you talked about your 20 years experience involved with the league, and with the transfer to NBL One West, what's a point of difference that you've noticed through your time coaching this year with the Perry Lakes Hawks?
I would say probably the point of difference is just the exposure and you know, games being widely available and people doing a great job with streams and commentating and media and what you guys do. And it means, you know, people pay more attention to the different conferences. And then along with that, I think we've sort of entered a sort of new transition with so many clubs with so many millions of wobble teams now that there's a different financial model for a lot of clubs, and a lot of them are doing very well commercially. And it's given the girls good opportunities to, you know, play and make some money, and clubs good opportunities to bring more and more import or, you know, women's NBL level talent in, which can only be good for the league. So that's probably one of the big changes, but not in a bad way. And I think, you know, the league's in a good position. I'm going to be really interested to see as we move through the grand final and then into the national tournament, how the WA, the West Conference teams in the men and the women represent themselves and how we look comparatively to the rest of the country.
Yeah, I think there's a few of us actually looking forward to that. It'd be quite nice to see, because we're always keen to spruik WA a little bit, I suppose, and getting to test themselves for sure. That'd be excellent.
Yeah, I'm very keen to see it. I think there's a real... I think some people misjudge the conferences. And, you know, the South Conference is strong. I think once you get after that, probably the North and the West Conference are probably every bit competitive, and the really good teams in the West and the North Conference could push the really good teams in the Southern Conference. So I'm really interested to see how that plays out, and hopefully it's a good look for basketball.
Craig Mansfield, head coach of the Women's Perry Lakes Hawks, thanks so much for your time, and good luck on the weekend, or good luck for the weekend after, because of course you've got the bye this weekend, and for the run home, and sneaking one of those spots in the finals.
Thanks, guys. Much appreciated. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Winding things up here on the NBL One West radio show, as you look towards the coming weekend, you can check out all of the games over at nbl1.com.au/west, or of course through the NBL One app. You can stream those, or check out the details so you can get down to your local association. A couple of biggies, particularly on the Saturday night, but a bit of action on the Friday night as well, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. None other than the Mandurah Magic, Rockingham Flames, both the men's and the women's. Right now, looking at the Mandurah Magic and the Rockingham Flames women, the Mandurah Magic with Vlad Alava at the helm with the 11-4 record right now, and they take on the Rockingham Flames 8-8, and that's a really big game. They match up pretty well against them, the Rockingham Flames, but the team that Alava's put together right now, they're really tough, and they're just sitting just outside. They beat the Willetton Tigers a fortnight ago on their home floor, and it'll be interesting to see how that game goes, and I'm interested to see how Marin Cracker goes as well. It'll be interesting to see if Casey Milo goes to her or if it's Sarah Toina. So yeah, that game will be tough. And then of course the men's clash will be the battle of the two Tritons, like literally going at it. And Devondrick Walker had that big game last week. The Mandurah Magic, they've got Julius Bowie. It'll be two scoring juggernauts going head to head.
Doesn't ease up at all on the Saturday. We mentioned the game between the Wolves and the Senators in both the men's and the women's. That holds a lot of credibility, and really those top four teams.
Absolutely. Well, the women's clash right now, my prediction, it could end on Saturday night. I said a month ago that the Warwick Senators would not lose another game for the rest of the year. It is a clash between the undefeated and the most informed side in the Warwick Senators. It'll be interesting to see if Chloe Forster's back for the Warwick Senators. But right now, the Joondalup Wolves 16-0. The Warwick Senators 14-2. 1v2 potential grand final preview.
One of those streaks is obviously going to come to an end this weekend.
Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see who goes to Leonie Fibic from the Wolves, who will get that matchup. I think it'll be Ryan. And then, of course, the Warwick Senators themselves have got the headaches about who's going to stop Ryan, who's going to be able to stop Nashea Parker-Williams, and then Tej Morrell inside. And then, of course, in the men's, well, none other than that clash. Third versus fourth. Joondalup Wolves right now 13-4. The Warwick Senators 12-5. They really should be 13-4 as well. They lost to the Lakeside Lightning on their home floor. They shouldn't have done that. They really got lucky. They really did last weekend. They just got out of jail against the Willetton Tigers, and then they lost on their home floor. They really should have been 0-2 last weekend. I expect them to bounce back. Kyle Zunick, that's going to be a tough matchup between Zunick and Wade. Last time they played each other was way back early, first four rounds, I believe. Brian Michaels that night went absolutely off in the first half. It was the first game coached by Luke Brennan. They went in to HBF Arena, and they put on a show, and they put the league on notice. This time around, Joondalup Wolves start to find that that click more. Coach Morrell at the helm there. They've got CJ Turnage, who's been going off recently. Jonathan Wade, who hit a big shot a few weeks ago against the Rockingham Flames. And it'll be interesting to see if Julian Pasava's back. We saw he didn't play against the Geraldton Buccaneers on Sunday. I think Warwick Senators in the women's and in the men's.
Ooh, big call to it. Interestingly, the Wolves and the Senators in the men, you mentioned they're sitting in third and fourth, both coming off a loss at home going into this weekend, which is pretty unusual.
Yeah, and look, and special mention there to the Geraldton Buccaneers. They continue to surprise everyone. They had two big games. They went into Bendat, the home of basketball, on Saturday night, took care of the Perry Lakes Hawks comfortably. And then to back it up on the Sunday against the Joondalup Wolves, and to do it quite easy in the end, they're really ones to be on watch for. Again, if you get them on the first round of the finals to travel up to Geraldton and they get one of their two home games at home, that 1v4, 2v3, that's a tough matchup. Mm.
Well, if you missed anything from the NBL One West radio show and you'd like to check it out online, go and get yourself a podcast or replay over at the likes of TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Podomatic. Ben, thanks very much for your insights once again on the NBL One West radio show.
Brett, always appreciate it. If anyone listens and they got a differing opinion about my starting five, someone I missed out, I'd love to hear them. Stop me if you see me in an association and happy to chat about it.
And you're always around somewhere on the call, so you're pretty easy to find.
Oh, who knows? Now, this weekend, I'm off to the game of the round, KO. We're off to the Belmont Oasis. The Perth Redbacks taking on the Kalamunda Eastern Suns.
From Ben Pether and Brett Costello, you've been with the NBL One West radio show.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.